We can't contain ourselves. This morning, we're going to do an exercise in your wit. So we're going to see how smart you are this morning. And you laugh. Such a nervous laugh. I'm going to say some words to you this morning, and I want you to shout back to me what comes to your mind. So we're not looking for sentences, we're looking for words. I might accept a phrase. Okay? So if I had to say the word Pepsi, you say what? Sorry, Stephen. I had Stephen all set to go because I didn't think you were that witty. Just kidding. If I say the word Ford, you say Chevy. We know which one's better, right? Right. If I say Microsoft, you say what? Apple. Okay, that's good. If I say McDonald's, Burger King, A&W. Pardon me? Lenny? Oh. I haven't been there. Who does that? No, because I'm already hungry, so let's move away from food. If I say Flames, if I say Maple Leafs, you say? No. If I say Maple Leafs, you say? Yes! I knew Mike had some wit about him. It's Maple Leafs is the Stanley Cup champions of the 18-19 season. Get that. They're 5-1. Just saying. If I say Walmart, you say what? Sears? Yeah, that's a good one. When I thought of Walmart, I thought it's anybody that sells anything because it appears Walmart wants to do that. If I said Rough Riders, Rough Riders, yeah, Blue Bombers. Did you watch the game yesterday? 31-0 for the Blue Bombers. Terry needs to be sent back to Manitoba. If I said River Valley Community Church, what would you say? I got to help you with this one. So there's a member of a local church. And this member or this staff member that's engaging a business owner, and they're talking about business. And in the midst of their conversation, she finds herself inviting this business owner to a special event that's going to happen at the church. She was not prepared for the answer. Because the answer was, the business owner said, well, I love competition in sports, but not in the church. He goes on to explain. He says, you know, I'm not a Christian, but I started attending a church because I was pursuing or I was exploring faith and what faith meant. And so when he got to this church, it didn't take long before this church split. Part of the church went off across town and they began to do all the cool things, all the fancy things, all the things that new and exciting and seeker churches do. And the remnant stayed where they were. So the business owner stays with a remnant. He figures, you know what, I'm going to stay here and I'm going to continue on my faith journey to figure out what faith really is all about. But it doesn't take long before the remnant or the old church begins to say things like, everything that they do over there, it's not biblical. What other people do, all this fancy stuff, it's all wrong. What we do is right. And it bothered him. And so he decided that he was going to leave that church. But he gave it one more try, and he says, you know what, I'm going to find another church, and I'm going to try it there, which he did. But you know what, it didn't take long. He gets to this other church. And this other church's communication to everybody was, there's no other church in town like us. We do ministry right. We love people right. We do youth ministries right. We do children's ministries right. Our worship is right. The songs we select is right. Aren't you lucky you attend here and not there? So what did the business owner do with that? He left the church. He stopped pursuing his faith. Why would he do that? I think that when a local body of believers sees everyone and everything around them that is competition, we lose our attractiveness. I think the message gets lost when we compete with other churches. I think our influence gets weakened. I think the evangelism and discipleship is rendered ineffective because we're more worried in other things than we are in the things that God calls us to be worried about or to focus on. So I thought about this a little bit. When we measure our growth based on the number of people in our seats, and then we compare it to the church down the road, we're in competition. When we study the book of Acts, chapter 2, and it describes in what the early church was all about, but when we look at Acts chapter 2 and we think about transfer growth versus conversion growth, we're in competition. When a new church starts up in the flats and we see them as a threat to our vision and to our mission, it's competition, right? When we keep an eye on another church to see how they're doing, and we play this game of kind of trying to keep up with the Joneses, we're in competition. When we try to copy what the church down the street does and we try to do it better than them, it's competition. When we start to see other churches in Medicine Hat as our competition, we have a problem. Our eyes are focused on other people when our eyes should be focused on what God is calling us to be about. So the problem with competition is that it divides us. And it divides the church in Medicine Hat. It divides the church in Calgary or wherever community you're in. And what competition does, it begins to breed distrust amongst pastors. And if you don't have pastors in Medicine Hat working together, you've got division. You've got competition. So I think it leads us to focus on that transfer growth rather than conversion growth. I think it helps us to, or it makes us focus on work-based theology rather than faith-based theology. It draws us into consumerism because now I'm starting to think, okay, if we do this, so because I oversee children's ministries, if we do children's ministries this way, we're going to not only keep you, but we're going to start drawing people from other churches. We're going to get those families to come here. That's competition. It pulls us away from what God has called us to be about here in this place. So when I read the Word of God, and what we're going to read about in a second here, is competition is a very dangerous game to play. I say that because Jesus addresses it with the disciples. So turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. We're going to pick up at verse 38. And we're going to read a few verses. Mark chapter 9, verse 38. So John comes to Jesus. "Teacher," said John, "we have a man driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us." Jesus said, "Do not stop him. No one who does a miracle in my name in the next moment say anything bad against me. Therefore, whoever is not against us is for us. I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward." So whoever's not against us is for us. So let's go back to last week for a minute. We talked last week about the disciples and their struggle with jealousy. They wanted to be first. They wanted to be the best. They wanted to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. And they were fighting. They were bickering. And their jealousy drove them to want all of Jesus' attention. It's all about me. So you come and be with me, Jesus, and I want all the privileges that come with it. But we're no different than that, really. Because I can look at Pastor Ken and I can say, wow, he walks so close with Jesus. My walk isn't that close. Why don't I have a close walk like that? Why is Pastor Larry's prayers, why did his prayers get answered, but mine seem to go nowhere? What's wrong with that? Mike's got more stuff than me. I want that stuff. We are a jealous and competitive breed, are we not? By nature. And so just like us, the disciples go out and they're mad. They are ticked off at this anonymous disciple who has the nerve to start driving out demons in the name of Jesus. What they were thinking, he is stepping into our territory. This guy shouldn't be driving out demons. Even though it works, he's stepping onto our turf. So John comes to Jesus, basically, stop this guy because I don't think he's going to listen to us. The disciples wanted Jesus to say that, oh, their work is the best that works. So, Randy, your work is much better than Pastor Ken's. Right? Randy's the chosen one, not Pastor Ken. You're not playing this very well with me. I knew you would do that. He's so gracious, isn't he? I should be the one that had the exclusive dibs on the gospel, not some anonymous disciple. It's turf, it's competition. But that's not what Jesus told them. Jesus didn't agree with them. In essence, Jesus is saying that whoever is successfully accomplishing my work in my name under my authority is making a genuine commitment to me and to the kingdom of God, and we will not stop them. So Jesus says, whoever is not against us, John is for us. Anyone who's doing the work of God, even if they look differently than us, they dress differently than us, they're a different group than us, they're partnering and they're fulfilling the kingdom of God. Why would River Valley Church want to stop that? Why would we want to stop another church in our city from accomplishing all they can accomplish for the glory of God? Just because they might do it differently than us. So I thought about that, and I thought, man, what would it look like if the churches in Medicine Hat, all the ones who preach the gospel, so they're all on the same page biblically, and they're functioning with brothers and sisters in Christ, think of what Medicine Hat would look like. What if we began to really, truly work together as churches in Medicine Hat? Wouldn't we advance the gospel far quicker than if we see our brothers and sisters as competition? You know, you think about the 12, or you could even go to the 72 if you want, and say if that was an exclusive club, and it was all about them, and they were the chosen ones, and only 12 or only 72 were going to spread the gospel around the world, we would still be in a very dark place, because it would take that much longer to spread if there was only 12 or 72. But that's not what happened. The church became on fire, and the church grew because his brothers and sisters grew. So everyone who was called to spread the gospel, where they're at with whatever they have, they are the ones who are making the kingdom flourish and grow. And if we truly ministered as one in Medicine Hat, and we were in the work of the gospel, I believe we would be unstoppable. If we would work together. Medicine Hat, the darkness of Medicine Hat, would not have a chance if we just work together. So a few weeks ago, we talked about we had this all-volunteer training session, and we spent a couple hours talking with 40-some of you, I believe. And what we're doing there is we're looking at how do we develop a culture within River Valley Community Church. And we recognize that the culture around us is continually growing, and it's changing. It changes almost hourly, it seems. And so all we're trying to do is keep pace with the changes in culture so we can have a culture within our own church that we can be effective in going out and taking the gospel. So that's what we were getting at. And so one of the questions that we dialogued around tables was, who is our competition? And then we talked about what steps do we need to take to deal with that competition. So we listed things like false religions, and false religions that trap people in cultic lifestyles. We talked about all those things that makes it very, very easy to pull us away from attending church on a Sunday morning, or committing to a life group, or getting involved in ministry opportunities. We discussed competition like social media, internet, television, peer pressure, and many others. And all those things, they compete with our time. They can pull us away from our worship, like we're doing here this morning. They can pull us away from our life group or from ministry opportunities that we should be engaged in. Because competition in the kingdom of God is a daily battle for all of us, whether we realize it or not. So what I'm getting at is Paul's letter to Ephesians. And in chapter 6, Paul says this in verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There lies our competition. This is the greatest battle we fight. In this darkened world, there's a lot of blindness. And within that blindness has caused a lot of sin-stained lives. And our call as a church is to go out and build relationships with those who are outside the faith. We're called to invite them to experience what we've experienced through the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. But Satan would love it if we would just continue to see our brothers and sisters around Medicine Hat this morning as competition. You see, he says that because Satan loves rivalry and strife. He's thrilled to see us jockey for position. He loves to see us battle over existing sheep instead of going out and finding those that need to be brought into the fold of God. Satan agrees absolutely with Jesus, who says a kingdom divided against itself is going to collapse. And so he tries that. And he fights against us every day, and he's constantly trying to bring division within the local church and within the churches in the community. So the one thing we are going to talk about, which is going to get you really excited, you're signing up for, I'm assuming, pizza and childcare, is we're going to talk about a statement that I've come across that has really got my attention. And I think we as families, it's due time as we as parents sit down and have a serious conversation around this statement. The statement is this: the final battle between Jesus and Satan. The final battle between Jesus and Satan is going to be over our marriages and over our families. Where's the battle today? Don't even have to hardly watch the news anymore, because we know full well there's a battle against marriage and there's a battle against family. Could we be in some of the final battles we fight? We very well could. So we're going to talk about that a little bit more, of how we can work to strengthen our marriages, how we can strengthen our families so that we are light in the community. Because there's an invisible battle in the heavenly realms. There's an intensity of a spiritual competition over marriage and family, and it shows up far too many times in a pastor's office or in a counseling office. Or crashed somewhere. And Paul warns about it, us about it, in the book of Ephesians. So, you know, I sat at home on Friday afternoon and I thought, okay, that's not very good news, really. How do we start to compete? How do we start to fight against this battle that rages against us? And honestly, it was like that. That I believe God gave me four passages of scriptures to share with you this morning. You could find 40 more probably, but there are four that I think that God gave to me to share with you this morning. We're not going to preach on all of them because they're all messages in themselves. But I'm going to give them to you. I would encourage you to write them down, and then you go and do what God asks you to do with these passages of scriptures. Start with John 15:4. Don't know what translation this is, but I like the translation. It's Jesus says, "Abide in me, and I will abide in you." I think the New International Version says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you." But I love the word abiding. What Jesus is saying, don't buy into the world's view of marriage and family or your personal life. Stay with Jesus. But what false religion will want to tell you, or the battle in the heavenly realms will want to tell you, you know, it's that great song, some of you will know, I don't know who sang it, but I did it my way, right? Who sang that? Frank Sinatra. Did it my way. Is that biblical? Jesus saying, no. No, if you want to do life, you got to do it my way. You follow me. You abide in me. And you will win the battle that rages against you. 1 Corinthians 15:58, again, I'm going to use the New American Standard because, again, I like how it phrases words. But Paul is writing in 1 Corinthians 15:58, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. I think one of the greatest ways that we can stay true to the kingdom of God is to get engaged in the kingdom of God. So God is saying to you, if this is all you do in a Sunday morning, don't just sit here and think this is the extent of faith in Christianity. God is calling all of us to get engaged in the kingdom of God. And if we abound in the work of the Lord, we will find that the enemy will far less have his claws into us. Because again, we're focused. But false religion or the darkness in the heavenly realms would say, he would call us to escape, to get away from all of this. God is saying, church, stay engaged. Stay with me. Work with me on this. It will benefit you. Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Simply what you put into your mind is going to be lived out in your daily life. So if you keep on putting garbage in, you're going to get garbage out through your behaviors. Put God's word in, and you're going to get biblical living out. But false religion will say, empty your mind, cleanse your mind of everything. Just get rid of everything in your mind. You know what that means? You've opened up your mind for Satan to start planting things in. God says, fill your mind with Christ. Stay in this book. When you meditate, what does the psalm to say when you meditate? Meditate on the word of God. Hebrews 12:2. One of my favorite passages of scripture, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. So last week we talked about a cow. I was reminded by somebody that I like chickens. So if you heard last week, you'll know what that all about. But let's go back to the pasture. You see the cows out in the middle of the pasture, right? And they're chomping away in all that luscious grass. And then we talked about how all of a sudden this one cow ends up chomping on grass and chomping on grass until they come to the edge of the fence. And the cow looks across to the other side of the fence and says, "Ooh, that looks better. That looks good." So the cow sticks his head through, then his neck through, and he strains until the wire snaps or the fence post breaks. And now where's the cow? On the other side, separated from the herd. There's nothing richer or more rewarding than being fulfilled with a peaceful mind or life that's lived in Jesus Christ. If you got strife, you got turmoil, get with Jesus. "Come to me, all you are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." See, the grass is not greener on the other side of the fence, folks. And anybody that has made mistakes will tell you that in their own life. I can tell you that in my own life. When you start looking around and things look greener on the other side, they're not. I understand that life can be hard. I understand that we have struggles. But you know, I think false religion would say, you know, that let's try some gimmicks to find peace in your life. Try these gimmicks over here. Do these things over here. Just study Eastern religion and you'll find all kinds of gimmicks. God says, focus on me and you'll find peace. And you'll find the strength to battle the competition. So your pastors, we're not immune to temptation. We're not immune to the strife and the strain in this world. We're not naive to the things that go on in daily life. We get it. But we don't throw in the towel. Not the brothers I work with. We have a brother here who's not feeling very well this morning. Where is he? Is he at home curled up on the couch? He's here with us. I've been tempted to throw in the towel many times. And I've had a quote on my computer that says, "I threw in the towel. God handed it back to me." And he says, "You're almost there. You're almost there. You're almost there." So if you throw in the towel, don't be surprised if God gives it back to you and said, "Hang in there. I've got this. I'm with you. I'm for you." Sometimes the competition feels like they're winning. And I'll be honest, in the last couple of weeks, I've been somewhat unnerved by some of the things that I read in media and on the news. And so I have put this onto my computer strategically to remind me. Hopefully it reminds you. And this is what the quote I have on my computer. It's from A.W. Tozer. He says this: "While it looks like things are out of control, hear this. Behind the scenes, there is a God who has not surrendered his authority. He will not ever surrender his authority to the world." We're almost there, friends. So I want us to come back to this text. You know, I think Jesus is saying to us, church, you got a function to fulfill. Can we go do it? Because I want to do it with you. We have a mission to complete. We have a direct order from God to get our eyes off of other things and other people and dial in on what he's calling us to be about. And you know, and I think when we do that, this is what comes to my mind. We will celebrate what God is doing through our brothers and sisters in Medicine Hat. So as Pastor Larry prayed for other churches this morning, what takes place in their churches today, we will celebrate that. We'll praise God by what he's doing in the churches in Medicine Hat. We will continue to pray for them as we did this morning. We will stand with them in the battle that rages We will encourage them, and we will be there for them physically if and when they ever need us. Because that's what brothers and sisters do. So in verse 41, Jesus, I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of cold water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose your reward. And I think God has lots of rewards to dish out to the churches or the kingdom of God in Medicine Hat. So, through something that came across my computer, I think it was an email, I got opportunity to watch a clip that we're going to watch here in a second. And I want you to see it because this is what God is saying to us today. Okay? So don't look at this as if, oh, this is for some other church, this is for some other time. This is for us. Let's watch the clip and then we'll close.
One morning, I walked into a church, but it wasn't on a Sunday. I looked around and I saw the empty seats, the sun glistening through the dust in the air. At first, I was distraught at the sight of the empty chairs, but then I was filled with joy. I realized that the people who were once in those chairs were now outside of the building, working at their jobs, serving in their communities, laughing with their coworkers and growing with their families. They had the opportunity to be the church, not just sit in it. When will we be like them? When will we see the opportunity given to us to be the hands and feet of Jesus, bringing hope into the world? Stained glass can't pray for the sick. These walls can't preach the gospel, but you can. The building you're sitting in is just a building. But if you trust in Jesus, then you are the church.
It's a building, right? You are the church. God is saying, if you're going to be competitive, let's go be competitive against darkness. So on Tuesday morning, when Pastor Larry and Pastor Ken and Pastor Randy walk through this worship center, we're going to see empty seats because you're out praying for the sick and sharing the gospel with people that need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, because you are the church. And we're going to take on that competition because we abide in Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning and for the opportunity again you give us in the freedom of our culture to worship you, to sing praises to you, to be able to receive children who are filled with joy and excitement and energy. We're glad to be here to understand a piece of your word this morning that comes out of your gospels. And we're excited about what you want to do in us and through us this week. So help us to recognize, Lord, that the church isn't this building. The church is each one of us. And as we go out into culture this week, let's help us to remember we're not in competition against brothers and sisters. Our competition is in the darkness of the heavenly realms that want to take us out. And let's help us to remember we have a God who has not surrendered his authority so we can walk with boldness into darkness and proclaim it for Jesus Christ. May it be so. Father, blessings upon our guest who's coming to dinner and all those who are participating. I pray it would be a very rich experience as we go. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.